Volume 47, Number 9 of the Friend Magazine for September 2017. Contents, Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, Blessings of Tithing by President Henry B. Eyring. All Children of God. Family Night Fun. Friend to Friend, Don't Play with Fire by Sister Jean B. Bingham. Answers from an Apostle by Elder Ronald A. Rasband. Friends with Heart. I Can Do Family History. Chief on the Run. Finishing the Story. CTR Story, The Sparkly Sticker. Show and Tell. A Brave Example, Part 1, Jane's Choice. Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip. For Older Kids, For Older Kids. The Bear Cave. Surviving the Homework Jungle. Snacks and Crafts. Earrings for Jasmine. A Painting Christ. Music, The Hearts of the Children. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff, School is Cool. Fun Stuff, Find It. CTR Fun. Church History Figures, Relief Society Sisters, and the Nauvoo Temple. Friend Junior, for Parents of Little Ones. Hi Friends. Good Friends. Playground Fun. Stories of Jesus. Jesus is Kind. Coloring Page, and Moresby the Brave. End of Contents, read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. Daily Start. Before we go to school, we start our day by reading a story from the friend. We like to hear about other children around the world. Thanks for helping us bring the Spirit into our home. Miriam, Eliza, Joshua, and Caleb A., ages 7, 5, 3, and 1. Sakhalin, Russia. New Friend Reader. I started reading The Friend in November 2016, and it is really cool. I love the stories and the fun ideas. Danny A., age 10, Alberta, Canada.
Heavenly Father's Love. My Cub Scout troop, which is my friend Jacob and me, made new sew blankets from Salsa Service, January 2017, and donated them to a nearby refugee center. We just met a family that had just moved from Congo who received the blankets. I felt the Spirit inside me and knew that Heavenly Father loved this family. Hunter A., age 8, Alabama, USA. How I read The Friend. Whenever I get the new friend, I read all of the stories outside after school. James B., age 7, Massachusetts, USA.
Dear friends, children in some parts of the world are starting a new school year. Some go to school nearby, while others travel a long way to school. Some have school in their own homes. Heavenly Father wants all of us to learn as much as we can. Turn to pages 11 and 34 for some school fun. What is your school like? Write and tell us about it, or color a picture. Happy learning, The Friend.
Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of this month's Friends by Mail, read by Ethan Nelson and Chloe Patello.
From the First Presidency, Blessings of Tithing by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. There are at least three ways that paying a full tithe prepares us to receive the gift of eternal life. First, when we pay our tithes to the church, our Heavenly Father pours out blessings upon us. The blessings are sometimes spiritual and sometimes temporal, earthly. They are given in the Lord's time and according to what He knows is best for us. As those blessings come, our faith is increased that God is the source of everything that is good in our lives. Second, all of us who pay a full tithe feel greater confidence, feeling sure, and asking God for what we need. He has promised blessings even greater than we can receive when we faithfully pay our tithes. So one of the great blessings of tithing is confidence in what the future holds. Whatever our circumstances may be, things will work out for the best. Third, when we pay tithing, we feel an increase in our love of God and of all God's children. We help the Lord build temples, where families can be sealed forever. We help him send the gospel to people everywhere. We help him relieve hunger and suffering in his own way through his servants. God pours out blessings on all those who are full tithe payers. Adapted from the Blessings of Tithing, Ensign, June 2011, pages 4 through 5. I can pay tithing. Paying tithing means giving 10% of what we earn to the Lord. On page 3, move the decimal one spot to the left to find out how much these kids would pay for tithing. Check answers on page 39. An important promise. Heavenly Father has made a very special promise to everyone who pays tithing. See Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. To discover this promise, answer each question on page 3, and then use those answers to solve the code. Check your answers on page 39. End of the article, From the First Presidency, Blessings of Tithing, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
All Children of God, by Julie Cornelius Huang, based on a true story. We claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience and allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. Articles of Faith, Chapter 1, Verse 11. Eyring was having fun visiting Taiwan. His grandfather, his Yeye, took him and his little sister Isla to the zoo and on a ferry ride to a small island. They went to beautiful gardens filled with mango trees and orchids, and they visited a mountain where monkeys tried to steal their food. The monkeys made Isla nervous, but Eyring thought they were awesome. Yeye was teaching Eyring and Isla all about where their family came from. He took them to meet all of their relatives and to restaurants to try new foods. Eyring had been practicing with chopsticks. He was getting really good. One day, Yeye took Eyring, Isla, and their parents to a special place. It was a big building with large open doors and shiny wooden floors. Before they went in, Eyring and his family took off their shoes. "This is a place where you have to be reverent," Mom said, "just like at our church."
"Is this a church?"
Eyring asked. It sure didn't look like any church he'd ever seen. The building's colorful roof had curled up edges. People in dark blue robes walked quietly through the doors.
"Sort of," said Mom. "It's a Buddhist temple, but people don't get married or sealed here like in our temples. It's a church building for Yeye's religion. He comes here to learn the teachings of Buddha and to help people."
Dad added,
"Do you remember the earthquake in Taiwan we saw on the news a month ago? Yeye and the other volunteers at this temple all helped after the earthquake was over."
"What did they do?"
asked Isla.
"I think they brought water to people and cleaned up rubble. They also helped people who lost their homes find a place to stay."
"Whoa,"
said Eyring. He looked at Yeye.
"That sounds like a lot of work."
When they went in the temple, Eyring noticed how quiet and peaceful it was. He looked around and saw a large wooden statue. Isla and Eyring stopped and stared.
"Is that Buddha?"
Isla asked. Mom nodded. Yeye said something to Dad in Chinese, pressed his hands together, and bowed in front of the statue of Buddha 3 times.
"Yeye is teaching us how he shows respect for Buddha,"
Dad said, his voice just above a whisper. Eyring scrunched his eyebrows together.
"Isn't that,
He tried to remember something he'd heard before.
"Isn't that worshiping idols?"
"Buddhists don't actually worship Buddha. Buddha was a great teacher, and they visit his statue to remember what he taught."
"When people bow here, they're showing respect. Sort of like shaking hands,"
Mom whispered.
"Yeye bows to show respect for Buddha and what he taught."
Mom put her arms around Eyring and Isla.
"And do you know what?"
"What?"
Isla asked.
These are all God's children. He loves them. He loves what they're doing to help each other.
Iron looked over at Yeye and all the other people sitting quietly. He felt warm and good inside and knew what Mom said was true. Iron said a little prayer to Heavenly Father.
Thank you for helping me meet more of thy children.
The author lives in Nevada, USA.
End of the story, All Children of God. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Enzo Patello, Ella Olson, Jane Wise, and Wes Nelson.
Following faithful examples, Elder Ronald A. Rasband likes to remember stories about his ancestors. He likes to think about their faith and their example. Elder Rasband's middle name is Anderson. It helps him remember his mother's family. His great-great-grandparents were Jens and Anne Catherine Anderson. They lived in Denmark almost 200 years ago. They learned about the gospel in Denmark and were baptized. In 1862, they traveled to the United States to be with other Latter-day Saints. Jens died on the trip across the ocean, but Anne Catherine and her son kept going. It was hard, but their faith was strong. They made it all the way to Utah. Elder Rasband keeps a painting in his office to remind him of his ancestors. The painting shows missionaries teaching people in Denmark when the church first started there. It reminds Elder Rasband of when his ancestors joined the church. His family's faith and sacrifice are good examples to him. Remembering them helps him keep his testimony strong. End of the article, Following Faithful Examples, read by Scott Tibbetts.
Building a Temple. Join us each month to see how the Peace in Utah Temple was built. By Amy Jane Levitt. Interior designers find fabric swatches, select furniture styles, and pick the artwork for a temple. It can take months for craftsmen to build the furniture and artists to paint their masterpieces. Once everything is finished, the furniture and art are put in place. Carpet is usually one of the last things put in a temple. Some of the carpet is hand-carved with flowers, leaves, and other patterns. The large mirrors in temple ceiling rooms are usually so heavy that a special mechanical lift has to raise them onto the wall. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart, 1. Fill out the form below and send it with your story or artwork. 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young boy is at a store hoping to buy a special backpack. He says to the sales clerk,
I need a backpack with 2 separate sections. I'm bringing my pet tarantulas for show and tell this year. And Harry and Fangy don't like being in the same room together.
End of this month's Building a Temple, read by Dwayne Case and Gabriel Reinwand.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Celebrating Differences. Read All Children of God on page 4. Heavenly Father loves all His children, no matter where they live. Pick a country you'd like to learn more about and do some of these activities together. Number 1. Make a popular food from this country. 2. Play some music you might hear there. 3. Find the place on a map. How would you travel there? 4. Look up pictures to see what it might be like to live there. 5. Talk about how the place is similar to where you live. How is it different? Pancakes for dinner. Trying foods from other countries is a great way to experience other cultures. Try making this popular Chinese food, soyobing. 1. Mix 1.5 cups flour and 1 teaspoon salt. Pour 1/2 cup warm water into the bowl and stir until combined. Knead the dough until it's no longer sticky, about 5 minutes. Let it sit for about 15 minutes. 2. Wash and dry 3 to 4 green onions, about 1/3 cup. Use kitchen scissors to cut the onions into little pieces. Mix the green onions into the dough. 3. Cut the dough into 4 pieces. Roll each piece into a long rope. Wrap the rope into a spiral. Sprinkle flour on the counter and on a rolling pin, and roll the dough thin and flat. 4. With an adult's help, heat 1 tablespoon oil in a frying pan. Fry each side of the pancake for about 1 minute or until the sides are browned. These are best served right away, so eat up. Respecting Heavenly Father and Jesus. We need to respect Heavenly Father's children, and we need to respect Heavenly Father and Jesus too. Use their names reverently. Listen to their teachings and do what they ask. Be thankful for everything they have given us. Be reverent when we are at church. Treat everyone kindly like they would. More family home evening ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below on page 7. Idea 1. Read the sparkly sticker. How did Emily choose the right? Come up with ways she could be nice to James. Then help finish the poem on the CTR Fun page. Idea 2. Read the new endings for the story, A Gift for Lane. Write your own ending to the story as a family, or write a new ending to a story from this month's magazine. Idea 3. Read about family history in Faithful Family Footsteps, and I Can Do Family History. Share a family story, and make sure it is written down. Bonus treat. Try this treat for family home evening this month. Be sure to get an adult's help. Mix 1 cup peanut butter, 1 cup sugar, and 1 egg. Roll into 1-inch, 3-centimeter balls and gently flatten with a fork. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 180 degrees centigrade, for 8 to 10 minutes. Thanks to Caleb B. from Texas for sending in this recipe. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of the article, Family Night Fun, read by David Shaw.
Friend to Friend by Jean B. Bingham, Relief Society General President. Don't play with fire. Keep the commandments. In this there is safety, in this there is peace. Children's Songbook, page 146. When I was growing up, one of my jobs was to burn the trash. I would gather the garbage from the house. I'd put it in a big metal barrel in the backyard. Then I would light a match and drop it in the barrel. One day it was really windy, and the match just wouldn't stay lit. I decided to make a torch out of newspaper. I thought that way the flame would last long enough to light the trash on fire. I remembered that it wasn't smart to play with fire, but I ignored the warning feeling. I rolled up some newspaper into a cone, lit it with a match, and dropped it into the barrel. Whoosh! The strong wind made the newspaper burst into flames, and the trash quickly caught fire. Big flames blew past my face. Luckily, most of my hair was pulled back into a ponytail, but my bangs were singed into crisp little wisps. My eyelashes were gone, and my eyebrows too. It just happened so fast. That taught me a lesson. If you play with something dangerous, you can get hurt. Our parents and the Holy Ghost warn us to avoid dangerous things like pornography and drugs. If we choose to ignore the warnings, there are harmful consequences. I'm grateful that my hair grew back over time. That's like repentance. When we make wrong choices, we can choose to change. We can be forgiven because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. No matter how young or old we are, our Savior is always there to help us. We can feel peace again, just like on the day we were baptized. Heavenly Father gave us commandments because He loves us. He wants to protect and help us. What wonderful gifts Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, have given us. from an interview with Marissa Dennis. End of the story, Don't Play with Fire, by Jean B. Bingham, read by Eden Reinwand.
Answers from an Apostle. How Can I Make My Testimony Strong? By Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Remember times when you felt the Spirit. Avoid things that do not build and strengthen your testimony. Read and think about the Scriptures. Write down your spiritual feelings in your journal. Reach out to others in Christ-like service. This will help you feel God's love deep in your heart. Share your testimony with your family. From Lest Thou Forget, Ensign, November 2016, pages 113 through 115. End of the section, Answers from an Apostle. How Can I Make My Testimony Strong? By Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends with Heart. I Can Do Family History. By Mary C., age 9, Oregon, USA.
Hi, my name is Mary. I love doing family history. I have lots of ancestors from England and other parts of Europe. One of my ancestors was the King of Sweden. A family activity. My older brother and sister are 12 and 13, and we love working together to find names for them to take to the temple. My sister is a youth temple and family history consultant. She has helped me learn a lot about FamilySearch.org. Sometimes, I help her with indexing. It's a great activity to do together on Sundays. Finding new names. Even though my family has worked on our family history for years, I can always find more names of ancestors who need to have temple ordinances done. I use FamilySearch.org at my home or at the Family History Library. There are family history centers all over the world. There's probably even one close to you. Learning about their lives. Each week this summer, we asked our grandparents and great-grandma to answer a question about their lives. There's a list of 52 questions on FamilySearch.org. I love learning more about my grandparents when they were my age. An Apostle's Promise. I love the promise Elder Bednar made to the youth about doing family history. He said, "I promise you will be protected against the intensifying influence of the adversary. As you participate in and love this holy work, you will be safeguarded in your youth and throughout your lives."
Mary's Tips for Showing Love.
Ask your grandma or grandpa to tell a story of when they were your age. Spend lots of time with the people you love, especially your family. Get to know them better. Keep a journal to share with your grandchildren someday.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus by showing love? Send us a heart with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39. Read by Maya Reinwand and Ella Olson.
Chief on the Run by Nicole Hansen, based on a true story. If Max couldn't catch him, Chief would be lost. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John chapter 16, verse 24. Max and Blake sat on Blake's front porch eating ice cream treats. It was a hot day, and the cold, sweet ice cream tasted just right. They both concentrated on eating every bit of their ice cream before it dripped onto the concrete. Blake finished his and sucked on the wooden stick.
"Hey, you want to play in the sprinklers in my backyard?"
he said.
"That sounds great. Race ya."
And he hopped up and ran around to the backyard gate. Max finished the last bite of his ice cream as Blake disappeared around the corner of the house.
"Hey, wait for me,"
Max shouted as he hurried after Blake. When he reached the gate, he flung it open, remembering too late to watch out for Blake's dog, Chief. Chief ran out through the gate, his large furry body pushing Max out of the way.
"Chief, come!"
Chief stopped in Blake's front yard. He cocked his head and grinned at Max, his tail wagging. Max spoke calmly as he inched toward the dog.
Come on, Chief, come back.
Max was almost close enough to grab Chief, so he kept speaking gently and stretched out his hand. Chief lurched away and raced down the street at full speed, still wagging his tail. He was fast. Max ran after Chief and tried not to lose sight of him. Max followed Chief until he felt like he just couldn't run anymore. His muscles ached, and his throat burned from breathing hard. All the while, Chief ran ahead of him, getting farther and farther away from home. Max was really worried now. He couldn't go back for help without losing sight of Chief, but he just didn't know how much longer he could keep up. And if he couldn't catch him, Chief would be lost. The thought of losing his best friend's dog gave Max a sick feeling in his stomach. Max stopped running, his heart still pounding hard in his chest. He closed his eyes and said an urgent prayer that he would be able to bring Chief home safely. Max looked up from his prayer and saw Chief dash through an open gate into a neighbor's backyard. He followed and quickly closed the gate. His shoulders sagged with relief. Max knew this was an answer to his prayer. Chief was trapped in the yard. Max knocked on the front door of the house and explained the situation. The kind neighbor helped Max hold Chief's collar and walk him back home. Max was tired from his run, but felt really grateful to Heavenly Father. He was so glad he'd remembered to pray for help.
Hey Max, where'd you go?
Said Blake as Max led Chief into the backyard.
I was getting the sprinkler set up and didn't see you go.
Me and Chief went for a run. Let me tell you about it.
Max smiled as he set Chief free to play in the sprinklers and double-checked to make sure the gate was closed tight. The author lives in Utah, USA.
End of the story, Chief on the Run. Read by Van Farnworth, Merrick Straga, and Gabriel Reinwand.
Finishing the story. Last September, we asked you to help write the ending to the story, A Gift for Lane. In the story, Addie gives a copy of the Book of Mormon to her friend Lane. But the next day, Lane tells Addie that her mom doesn't want her to read it. What happens next?
Cassie M., age 11, New York, USA, says, Addie and her mom pray about who else they could give a Book of Mormon to. Addie gives one to her friend Ben. Later, Ben recites a scripture from 2 Nephi to Addie.
I would tell Addie, sorry you feel bad. Sometimes when I feel bad, I say a prayer. Want to say a prayer? Then we'd say a prayer. I would also tell her to try again. Benjamin C., age 7, Utah, USA.
Ivy C., age 11, Idaho, USA, says, Addie's sister tells her she did the right thing. She says even though Lane didn't read it now, doesn't mean that she won't read it in the future. Don't give up just yet. Then she says Addie could invite Lane to activity days or to their house.
Addie and her older sister pray. Then they make a list of ways Addie could share the gospel. After that, Addie invites Lane and her mom to church, and they both come to church with her. Ruby F., age 11, Maryland, USA.
Addie's older brother says, maybe you could set an example by being really nice to your friend and by being happy. Then she might want to know what makes you so nice and happy. And then you can tell her about the gospel. Jack M., age 9, Utah, USA.
Addie could try to be a good example and also lend Lane a copy of The Friend. Eden E., age 9, Oregon, USA.
End of this month's Finishing the Story.
Addie's older brother tells her that what she did was brave. The next day, Lane tells Addie that her parents changed their minds. They read the Book of Mormon and the missionaries stopped by their house. They feel the Spirit, and Lane and her family go to church. William G., age 11, Georgia, USA. End of the article, Finishing the Story.
Fun stuff, find it. Everyone should have someone to play with at recess. Samantha and Gia want to help. Can you help them find these kids who might need a friend? Can you also find the hidden objects? A globe, a ruler, scissors, a crayon, a book, glue, glasses, and a pencil. End of this month's Find It, read by Shannon Nelson.
CTR Story, The Sparkly Sticker, by Susan Denny, based on a true story. Help me, dear Father, to truly repent, making things right and changing my ways. Children's Songbook, page 99. Emily loved snack time at school. It was the only time that she and her friends could chat in the classroom. Emily had three best friends, Lucy, Meredith, and Krista. They always had fun together, and Krista was their leader. I have something to show you, Krista said to Emily, Lucy, and Meredith. She reached in her pocket. Then she pulled out a pink, sparkly sticker with a pony on it. I'm going to give this to James, Krista whispered. She giggled. Emily looked over at James. He was sitting by himself at the table next to them. James always ate his snack alone. Emily laughed when she thought about what would happen when Krista gave James the sticker. A pink, sparkly sticker for a boy. It would be so funny. Emily held her breath when Krista reached over and handed the sticker to James. What would he say? He would probably hate it. James looked at the sticker in his hand. Then he smiled. Thanks, Krista. I'll give it to my sister. We both really like horses. Krista, Meredith, and Lucy burst out laughing. Emily laughed too. James's smile fell into a frown. Krista leaned over to Emily and whispered, Your turn. Give him something else. Emily felt a little queasy. She glanced over her shoulder. James had pulled his jacket hood up around his face and was tearing the sticker in half. It had been so easy to laugh at James. But now that it was Emily's turn to tease him, it didn't seem funny anymore. No, said Emily. I don't want to. Krista shrugged and whispered to Meredith instead. Emily couldn't finish her snack now. Her stomach hurt. The more she thought about James and the sticker, the worse she felt. Before bed that night, Mom read Emily a scripture about baptism. Do you remember when you were baptized, how clean and pure you felt? Mom asked. Emily thought about James and the sticker. She thought about the way he'd hidden his face. She remembered how she'd laughed. Mom, she said, I did something really bad. She started to cry. Emily told Mom what had happened and how bad she felt. Mom pulled her close. Oh, Emily, everyone messes up. Only Jesus is perfect. Then Mom smiled. Do you know what repentance is? Emily nodded with a sniff. It's when you say you're sorry. That's how it starts, but it's more than that. You ask Heavenly Father to forgive you for what you've done wrong, and you promise not to do that bad thing again. He'll help you. And you need to make things right with the person you hurt. Do you think you can do that? Emily wiped the tears from her cheeks and nodded. I won't make fun of James again, and I'll tell him sorry. Mom hugged Emily. I promise you'll feel better when you do. That's how repentance works. Mom and Emily knelt to pray. Emily asked Heavenly Father to forgive her and to help her say sorry to James. After she prayed, she felt better. She would try to be like Jesus, and now she knew she could repent when she messed up. Tomorrow she would talk to James. Maybe she could bring him a new sticker. The author lives in Texas, USA.
CTR Challenge. I will choose the right. I know I can repent when I make a mistake. My Gospel Standards. Read Doctrine and Covenants section 58, verses 42 and 43 with a parent or teacher. What does it mean to confess and forsake your sins? When you hurt someone, say you're sorry and mean it. Pick one thing you want to do better this week. Pray to Heavenly Father for help. I challenge myself to... End of the story, The Sparkly Sticker, read by Rena and Wes Nelson.
Show and tell. I like to be nice to people because it makes them happy and me happy. Hank B., age 11, Montana, USA.
I love the CTR shield because it reminds me of a knight's shield that protects them from a dragon. I know when I choose the right, I'm protected from sin.
Libby R., age 8, Utah, USA.
When I go to church, I try to be reverent in sacrament meeting and primary by singing the songs and reading the scriptures. Joel R., age 6, Chiang Mai, Thailand. Praying and repenting, help me to follow Jesus. Chajin W., age 9, Utah, USA. I told my friends about the gospel and that I read the scriptures. I invited them and my teachers to my baptism. I felt happy that they came, and I felt like a missionary. James D., age 9, Somerset, England.
Primary children from the Gateway Gardens Ward, Arizona, USA, joined with another local church to collect school supplies to help children in their community. We performed a song in American Sign Language for the deaf members in our ward during the primary sacrament program. Nalani K., age 10, AJ and Ashton G., ages 8 and 9, Hawaii, USA.
My friend at school said a bad word. I asked him to please use good words. Rachel K., age 6, New South Wales, Australia.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Laura F., age 11, Texas, USA. Jace R., age 11, Arizona, USA. Andrew S., age 8, Utah, USA. Blake B., age 6, Florida, USA. Audrey C., age 7, Texas, USA. Marin R., age 10, Iowa, USA. Daniel E., age 11, Utah, USA. Filling the world with love. This year, we're filling our map of the world with your loving hearts. Find out how to send us your heart on page 15.
End of Show and Tell. Read by Ocean Patello, Asher Hawkins, Maya Reinwand, and Merrick Straga.
Jane's Choice by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Connecticut, 1842. The Lord my shepherd is. Music swirled around Jane Elizabeth Manning, but she couldn't focus on the words. She was looking at her hands, deep in thought. She had joined the Presbyterian Church a year ago, but she still felt like something was missing.
I'm searching for something more,
she thought. But what could that be? After the church meeting ended, Jane drifted outside with the rest of the congregation. The leaves were beginning to turn red and gold. Sunlight glinted off the nearby Norwalk River.
A traveling missionary has come to town,
a man was saying.
He's a Mormon, and he says God is speaking to prophets again.
Jane stopped to listen. Could this be what she was searching for?
Prophets?
Another man scoffed.
Like, from the Bible? Who would go listen to such a message?
I would,
Jane blurted out. A few people turned to stare at her, including the pastor. Jane felt her cheeks grow warm. The pastor frowned.
I don't think you should go hear him. It's foolishness, that's what. Do you understand?
When she said nothing, he nodded and moved to speak with someone else. Jane watched him leave and then hurried home. Home wasn't where Mama and her brothers and sisters lived. It was at the Fitch's farm. She had gone to live there as a servant when she was just 6 years old. Every day she worked hard, helping Mrs. Fitch with the washing, ironing, and cooking. She usually got up before the sun. She built the fire, kneaded bread, and churned the butter. Whenever she could, she went to visit her own family. A few days later, Jane was still thinking about the missionary while she was hanging up Mr. Fitch's shirts to dry. The clothes flapped in the brisk breeze. The pastor had told her not to go, and yet she needed to. She needed to see if this Mormon could help her find the truth she was searching for. By the time she finished hanging the clothes, she had made up her mind. She would go to the meeting no matter what anyone else said. On Sunday, Jane woke at dawn, put on her nicest dress, and walked alone to the meeting hall. She quietly slipped onto a wooden bench at the back of the hall. Jane smiled when she saw how many people were there. It seemed she was not the only one looking for something more. The room quieted when Elder Wandell stood. The next hour passed quickly as he spoke about the Book of Mormon and a prophet named Joseph. He said people could be baptized by immersion, just as Christ was, and he talked about the saints gathering to a faraway city called Nauvoo. By the end of the meeting, Jane's heart felt so full she could hardly breathe. That night, Jane visited her family.
"And what did you think of the missionary's message?"
her mother asked when Jane explained how she'd spent her Sunday.
"I'm fully convinced he presented the true gospel. I must embrace it. I'm going to be baptized next Sunday."
"Baptized? You're joining another church?"
her brother Isaac asked, pulling up a chair.
"Yes, it's what I've been searching for. It's true."
Isaac could tell she was serious.
"So what happens next? What will you do after you're baptized?"
"I'll gather with the saints," Jane said. "I'm going to Nauvoo." To be continued.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Matt is at school playing in the outside playground. Two of his classmates approach him and say,
"Hey, Matt, want to hear a joke?"
Matt hesitantly responds,
"Maybe."
"Come here, then. We don't want the playground aide to hear it."
"Oh, I guess maybe I don't want to hear it either."
"What's the matter, chicken?"
"No, but Stretch is. And he doesn't like those kinds of jokes either. He thinks they're gross."
"Who?
What?"
Matt calmly walks away. At home, while Matt is working on his model airplane, he says to his rubber chicken,
"I mentioned your name to some guys at school. Hope you don't mind."
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, why couldn't the pony sing his favorite song? See page 39. Quick quiz. Which of these was not one of the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon? See page 39. Oliver Cowdery, Hiram Smith, David Whitmer, or Martin Harris? Dear Journal, what do you love about nature? Spend time outside and write about Heavenly Father's creation. Draw a picture or take a photo of what you see. You can even tape a dried flower or leaf into your journal. Family Hunt. Ask your parents for old family obituaries. These are usually newspaper clippings that announce a person's death and tell about their life. What do you want people to remember about you? Make a list of 10 things, then upload the obituaries to FamilySearch.org. Think about it. If you cannot muster faith right now, begin with hope. By President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. My haiku. When I say my prayers, I feel the Spirit by me. I know God loves me. Brooke H., age 10, Minnesota, USA. McKay H., age 9, Utah, USA, said, "One night, as I was watching TV, a show came on that I had never seen before. I got a dark feeling inside. Then a very still, small voice told me to turn off the TV. After that, I went to play a primary song on the piano. I am so grateful that Jesus always answers our prayers and helps us to feel comforted." End of the section, For Older Kids, read by Asher Hawkins.
The Bear Cave by Barbara A. Lewis, based on a true story. Suddenly, sleeping in the basement didn't seem so great anymore. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." Psalm 61, verse 1. Thump! Ben had barely wakened up when something heavy landed on his back. It was the usual morning attack from his 4-year-old brother, Evan.
"Wake up!"
Evan's fingers pried Ben's eyelids open.
"You in there, Benny?"
"Yeah, I'm awake,"
Ben said. He wrapped Evan in the blankets and tickled him. Evan giggled and squealed. Ben and Evan shared their bedroom, but not for long. Today, Ben would get his own room. Ben turned 10 today, and he was moving his stuff into the basement. Now he could read in bed at night with a light on without bothering anyone.
The cool stuff he built would be safe, and there would be no more pesky attacks from Evan. It would be his own private bear cave, as Dad called it. Ben jumped out of bed and punched his fist into the air. He started tickling Evan again, but he stopped when a worry came into his mind.
Will I be scared in the basement?
He gave Evan a little hug. Then he rolled his brother out onto the blanket.
Nah, I'll be fine.
Soon Dad walked in.
Are you ready to move downstairs?
Ben's worry slipped away.
You bet.
Ben's family helped him pack his things in boxes. One box was labeled Save, another was labeled Give Away, and the last box was labeled Trash. Ben's little sister, Marissa, dangled a ragged teddy bear by one ear.
You don't need this old thing anymore, do you?
She tossed it into the trash box. Ben tried to act like he didn't care, but he could feel his heart beating faster.
I think there will still be room downstairs for Bear,
Mom said. She picked up Bear and placed him in the save box.
But how about all your building stuff? You could leave it for Evan.
Ben's stomach flipped. Dad came to the rescue.
He's just moving his bedroom downstairs. I don't think he wants to leave his identity behind.
Ben smiled a little at Dad, but he rescued two army figures from the boxes just in case. When it was bedtime, Ben raced downstairs.
My very own room!
He turned on his lamp, flopped down to his bed, and opened a mystery book. Suddenly, he heard water gurgling down a pipe. Then he heard squeaky floorboards above him. The house moaned, hissed, and groaned. Ben dropped his book and hid under the blanket. He missed hearing Evan snore.
I'll be okay if I go to sleep,
Ben told himself. But no matter how tightly he shut his eyes, he couldn't fall asleep. Ben prayed for help and comfort. It didn't work. He prayed for an angel to protect him. Nothing happened. Why wasn't Heavenly Father helping him? He thought he would always get help when he prayed. That's how it's supposed to work. Hot tears built up in Ben's eyes. Then Ben heard footsteps, and his door creaked open. Peeking over the top of his blanket, he saw Mom walk over to his bed.
How are you doing in your little cave?
She asked with a smile. Ben rubbed his tears away.
I can't sleep. It's too scary down here. I prayed for help, but it didn't work. God can't hear me way down in the basement.
Mom stroked his hair.
Ben, he did hear you. The Holy Ghost told me that I should check on you. He sent me.
Mom lay down beside him and began telling him stories. He didn't feel scared anymore. Mom was the angel he had prayed for. Ben shut his eyes and listened, and soon he fell asleep. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. One night I was trying to fall asleep. I was scared, so I prayed, and I was not scared anymore. I thanked Heavenly Father. I know Jesus lives and that I can live with him again. Miley B., age 8, Utah, USA.
End of the story, The Bear Cave. Read by Van Farnworth. Aiden Williams, Merrick Straga, Wes Nelson, Margo Patello, Kristen Hawkins, and Shannon Nelson.
Surviving the Homework Jungle by Jordan Wright. Tip 1. Don't be distracted. Put phones away, or at least out of reach. Tip 2. How do you study? Do you say things out loud? Do you walk around the room while you read? Do you copy your notes? Explore different ways to study to find what works for you. Tip 3. Take short breaks and do something fun. You'll give your brain a boost. Tip 4. Get organized. Write due dates in a planner or a calendar. Put unfinished worksheets in a folder so they don't disappear. Tip 5. Ask for help when you need it. Sometimes your parent or teacher isn't allowed to help, but you can always pray. Ask Heavenly Father to help you understand and remember what you've studied. Tip 6. Stick with it. Homework isn't as scary as it seems. Good luck. Sincerely, the Survival Squad. End of the article, Surviving the Homework Jungle, read by Ethan Nelson.
Snacks and Crafts.
crispy apple chips. With an adult's help, cut a few apples in half. Set them cut side down and slice them as thin as you can. Spread the slices on parchment paper or lightly greased aluminum foil on a baking sheet. Sprinkle them with cinnamon sugar. Bake at 225 degrees Fahrenheit, 105 degrees Celsius, for about 1 hour. Then flip the slices over, sprinkle more cinnamon sugar, and bake for another hour. The slices should curl up at the edges as they bake, and when they cool off, they should be crunchy. Stained glass flowers. Pick some fresh leaves and wildflowers, but don't pick them from someone's garden without permission. Arrange them on the sticky side of a sheet of clear contact paper. Put another piece of contact paper on the back so that the two sticky sides are stuck together. Hang it in a window and see how cool it looks when the sun shines through. End of the article, Snacks and Crafts, read by Shauna Thompson.
Earrings for Jasmine by Marissa Dennis, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Jesus walked away from none. He gave his love to everyone. So I will. I will. Children's Songbook, page 140. Abby stared at the words on the TV screen. Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans. There were pictures of houses flooded clear to the roof. Her eyes widened.
Mom, have you seen this?
Yes.
Mom sat down. She looked sad.
So many people lost their homes.
Abby slumped back on the couch.
I wish I could do something.
You can always be a friend.
Abby looked up.
How?
A lot of the people who lost their homes are coming to Texas. Maybe some will come to your school.
Mom was right. A few weeks later, Abby spotted a new girl sitting in the corner, staring down at her desk. Her hair was really short, and she wore long earrings that almost touched her shoulders. Abby thought they looked nice on her, but it was definitely a different style than she was used to seeing.
"This is Jasmine," Mrs. Franklin said. "She's from New Orleans. Let's all make her feel welcome, okay?"
"Yeah, right,"
someone whispered. Abby turned to see Isabella and her friends giggle behind their hands. Abby caught Isabella's eye and looked away. Isabella always made her nervous. The next day at lunch, Abby saw Jasmine sitting alone, picking at her food. Isabella sat nearby with friends.
"She's so weird,"
said one of the boys sitting by Isabella. Everyone laughed. Jasmine just stared down at her tray. Abby felt like she should sit with Jasmine, but she didn't want to be teased too. Then she remembered what Mom said. How would Abby feel if she lost her home and had to move somewhere where she didn't know anyone? She knew what Jesus would want her to do.
"Can I sit here?"
Abby asked. Jasmine looked up and nodded.
"I'm Abby. Nice to meet you."
"You too."
"Cool earrings."
Jasmine gave a small smile.
"Thanks."
Abby sat by Jasmine every day that week. Jasmine never said anything about Isabella, but she always looked sad whenever Isabella and her friends laughed. Abby wished she could do something to make Jasmine feel better. One day after school, Mom poked her head into Abby's room. "Want to go to the mall?"
"Sure."
Abby's favorite store was selling surprise bags filled with mystery items like jewelry and nail polish. She bought one and pulled out a pair of long feather earrings that weren't really her style. She remembered Jasmine's long earrings. Maybe Jasmine would like them. The next day, Jasmine beamed as she put them on.
"This is the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me."
Abby smiled back.
"They look so great on you."
Then she saw Isabella watching from across the room, and her smile faded. In gym class, Abby and Jasmine were on the same dodgeball team. Isabella and her friend stalked over with their hands on their hips.
"Hand over those earrings,"
Isabella demanded. Jasmine shrank back. Abby's heart was thumping, but she wanted to stand up for Jasmine.
Leave her alone.
Isabella crossed her arms.
You should have given those earrings to me. Why her?
Jasmine flinched. Abby swallowed and stood up tall.
Because she's my friend.
Isabella glared.
Whatever.
She turned and left. Jasmine threw her arms around Abby.
Thank you,
Jasmine said over and over.
Thank you, thank you.
Abby was glad that she stood up for Jasmine and chose to be her friend. It didn't matter that they were different from each other. Jesus loved Jasmine, and so did Abby.
End of the story, Earrings for Jasmine. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Eden Reinwand, Rena Nelson, Jane Wise, Chloe Patello, and Gabriel and Maya Reinwand.
A True Story Written by You, A Painting of Christ, by Tesla S., age 11, Utah, USA. Every Sunday night, my dad and I sit down together and work on my goals in my Faith in God booklet. One of the goals I wanted to complete for developing talents was to paint a picture of Christ. After I made the goal, a friend of mine from school invited me to her First Communion. The First Communion is a very special occasion in the Catholic Church. It is the first time someone can partake of the sacrament. My friend had done a lot to prepare for her First Communion, and I knew it was very important to her. I decided to paint the picture of Christ to give to her as a present. I worked very hard on my painting. After I finished it, I bought a nice frame to put it in and gave it to my friend. She was very grateful for it. It made me feel good inside to give it to her and to be part of her special day. End of the story, A Painting of Christ, read by Maya Reinwand.
For parents of little ones, it is fun to have a friend who will play with you. But to have a friend, you must be a friend too. Children's Songbook, 262. Children develop different friendship skills at different ages. At 3, they often like to play in pairs but have trouble sharing. By 4, they can cooperate more easily and like playing either in groups or with a special friend. But 5-year-olds often prefer being with a parent to playing with friends. Here are some ways to nurture good friendship skills at any age. Encourage sharing. When your child shares a snack with a friend, point out the friend's happy reaction. Look, sharing your snack made your friend Eva smile. Teach empathy. If a child is being left out, you could ask, I wonder why Joel looks sad. What could you do to help him feel happy? Encourage problem solving. When friends disagree, you can explain. Friends don't always agree, but friends don't hurt each other. Use kind words to solve the problem. Use the scriptures. The stories of Jesus and other teachings from the scriptures can help young children learn about loving, forgiving, and helping others, laying the foundation for a lifetime of being a good friend. Tell stories. When reading stories, point out how the characters are good friends to each other and how we can be like them. You can read past letters at friendsfplo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Dwayne Case.
Hi, friends. Holly, age 5, Colorado, USA, says, I love butterflies because they remind me of Heavenly Father and the beautiful world He created for us.
My family went to the Melbourne Australian Temple to be sealed together forever. I felt warm and happy inside. It was the best feeling ever. Mel Kai, age 4, Tasmania, Australia.
Lola, age 5, Georgia, USA, says, I showed love to my friend by sitting with her when she was alone. Carter, age 5, Utah, USA, says, I helped Mom and Dad when they were sick.
End of Hi Friends, read by Chloe Patella and Sean Nelson.
Good Friends by Jennifer Maddie. Hi, Caitlin. I came to play with you, says Jessie. They put hair clips in their hair. I love it, Caitlin says. They decorate Caitlin's cast. It's beautiful, Caitlin says. Caitlin wants to play with her magnifying glass. I'll help, Jessie says. Look at this bug, Caitlin says. Thanks for being a good friend, Jessie. End of the article. Good Friends. Read by Ocean Patello.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus is Kind by Kim Webb Reed. One day, Jesus was teaching people. Some families came to him with their babies and little children. They wanted Jesus to bless their children. The disciples didn't want the children to bother Jesus. They tried to send them away. Jesus told his disciples to let the little children come to him. He said that grown-ups need to have faith like little children to get to heaven. Then Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them. Jesus loves children. He wants me to be kind to people everywhere. End of Stories of Jesus, read by Margot Patello.
Moresby the Brave by Saiz Samoa Laban, based on a true story. Tomorrow was Moresby's first day of school. He was nervous. "Mummy, do you think kids will tease me?" he asked at breakfast. "Will my teacher be nice?" he asked at lunch. "What if no one plays with me?" he asked at dinner. That night, Dad gave Moresby a priesthood blessing. Dad said it would help him be brave. During the blessing, Moresby felt warm in his heart. Mummy said that feeling was the Holy Ghost. At school the next day, Moresby tried his best to be brave. He met his new teacher, Mrs. Muetu. She was nice. He met lots of new friends, and nobody teased him. But during recess, two boys made mean faces at a girl on the playground. She started to cry. Moresby wanted to be brave. He walked over to help her. The boy saw him and ran away. "I miss my mom," the girl sniffed. "Me too," said Moresby. Moresby thought of how he could cheer her up. He scooped up some dirt. "Want to bake a cake with me?" The girl wiped her tears. "How?" she asked. "We can make pavlova," Moresby said, shaping the dirt like a cake. The girl smiled. "I love pavlova." Later that day, Mummy picked up Moresby from school. "How was your first day?" asked Mummy. Moresby smiled. "I was brave, and I made a new friend." "That's great," Mummy said. "I'm glad Heavenly Father helped you today." Moresby smiled. "From now on, you can call me Moresby the Brave." The author lives in South Auckland, New Zealand. End of the story, Moresby the Brave, read by Salem Tullis.